Today, we'll choose an EV for a viewer who wants something to drive up mountain trails, a Kia Soul EV owner considering trading up to a Chevy Bolt EV, and a Canadian farmer who wants to replace his diesel truck for an electric one with good range and that can tow. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a series from the Batteries Included podcast. This is episode number 25. I'm Dominic Yoni, and I am joined today by Tom Logney, senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge, along with Jordan Scheif from the Out of Spec Studios. Now, if you're looking for your own battery bargain, email us a couple short paragraphs with your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off with our first case for today. And to be transparent, we've paraphrased these emails a little bit for length and clarity. So you guys ready to go car shopping?
Always.
Do it.
All right. Good to see you there, Jordan. This is your first time on Battery Bargains.
That's right. It's a good show. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see if we can find some vehicles for these. I almost said trucks for these guys because... we have one truck later on, but this first letter comes to us from Truckee, California. So, all right. So, hello. And it comes to us from Dan. So, he writes, hello. We live in Truckee, California, and daily drive a Kia EV6. Oh, I should share this with you all, too, so you can see what's even going on. Here's Dan. And that's all up there. Okay. It works well, but it has low ground clearance and can't do much with some of the trails or rough roads here in the mountains. When our Jeep Renegade lost its transmission, we thought it would be good to try to replace it with an EV with sufficient off-road abilities. We didn't want or couldn't afford a Rivian, but the list of EVs with decent ground clearance is very short. The Subaru Solterra was a possibility, but we were daunted by its limited range and slow charge speed. Its depreciation is also extreme, so it's relatively affordable with very low miles, around $35,000 to $40,000. However, it would be mainly a supplement to the Kia, and we have level 2 charging at home, so we thought maybe that's not so bad. The other option was a used Audi e-tron, which has similar limited range but faster charging speed. It also seems to experience extreme depreciation, excuse me, being available a couple of years old with under 20,000 miles in premium plus trim for about the same price as a 2023 Subaru. Maybe we should wait for a 2024 Equinox, which has a lower ground clearance but better range, decent charging, and Super Cruise to take some of the daily load off the EV6. Its costs would push our budget to past 50,000, which isn't so great, but at least it would be new. Any thoughts? Dan. All right, Tom, can we hit you up for this first case?
Why not? I like the way you're thinking with used, particularly if budget is important to you. It sounds like it is. The Solterra is an interesting proposition. I know somebody that owns one. They really like it. It's got great ground clearance. It doesn't seem like this is going to be a vehicle that you need to do lots of road trips on. It seems... and I've said this before on our shows, Kyle, some of the other people out there that do Jordan that do DC fast charge recordings and talk about road tripping EVs. I think sometimes we do a disservice to the community by kind of scaring people and saying, oh, this is a terrible charging EV. You have home charging. Don't worry about the fact that it doesn't charge as great as a Tesla on the 3 or 4 times a year that you might need public DC fast charging on a long trip. It's fine. It's really, we do these trips, and Kyle in particular does these races across the country. When people drive across the country, they're not racing. I know they don't want to wait an extra 5 hours to get to where they're going, but typically you're talking about an extra 15 or 20 minute stop. Just have another cup of coffee, take a breather and relax and enjoy life a little bit. And don't stress about the fact that some of these EVs don't charge as well as some of the others do. Particularly for the use case, that it appears that what you're going to be using it for isn't going to really be that important. So don't worry about the charging speed. I would focus on getting a good value for a used electric vehicle. the e-tron's definitely always a consideration there. But you also seem like you're concerned about maybe, you know, getting something new. If you were to get a 2023 Solterra, it's new. Let's face it. You know, it's got a few thousand miles on it. I've seen the prices of these. They're dropping like a rock. I think it's a good vehicle for your use case. And I would not deter you from going and trying to find a really good deal on a lightly used 2023 Solterra. I think that might be the right play for you.
Interesting. Okay. One vote for the Solterra. Jordan, what do you think?
Yeah, so the Solterra, I think, is good. It is known for, Subaru is known for their all-wheel drive system. That's, I think, partially why Toyota may have partnered with them, because they developed the all-wheel drive system for this and the BZ4X. So the BZ4X is another consideration if you're not tied to the Subaru nameplate. But the other vehicle that comes to mind with the exact same ground clearance is the Volkswagen ID.4. Which might have a bit better road trip capabilities, not incredible charging, but on par with the charging of the e-tron. And, you know, the e-tron does not have great ground clearance. It is barely better than EV6. It is better than EV6, but not much. So e-tron will be a very nice...
I believe it's 7 inches, the e-tron.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It is a nice place to be. Like, the e-tron will be the most comfortable inside, I think, but the ID.4 is pretty good. I'm not always an advocate for ID.4. I don't love their software, but it's gotten a lot better over the years since it came out. Seems to be pretty good all-wheel drive system. Me and Kyle have tested that plenty on some trails here and there, so I would be pretty confident with that too. So I feel like this is one of those cases where you do have to just try each one and see how you like the interior, the fit and finish. Because the Solterra and BZ4X aren't my favorite interior, but they seem to do the job just fine. And like you said, the big limitation is consecutive DC fast charging instances if you're doing road trips, which if you're doing a road trip, you're probably taking the Kia, because that just rocks at road trips. It just swallows the miles like nothing else. So that's kind of where my mind went, was to not discount the possible ID.4, especially a lot of great bargains out there if you're looking for used. But I do want to mention a brief, very kind of tangential vehicle. You had a Jeep Renegade. You liked it. The most capable electrified vehicle, at least in your price range, would be the Jeep Wrangler 4xe. Now, you would get trails maybe off-road, or trails might be electrified because you get 26 miles-ish, which actually more like 30 miles on slow speeds off-road, and you get all the full Jeep characteristics, but that is not a full EV, so depending on your use case, you might not want to even consider that one.
So how do you think, have you tried the VW ID.4 off-road? I just wonder how its traction capabilities are.
Yeah, not on anything. Well, actually, we did take it on something a bit serious and it couldn't do it, but it was such a serious hill that we basically stopped taking everything on it because nothing could do it. So it was kind of up there with everything else in the same boat, but it seemed like a pretty good all-wheel drive strategy and actually fairly fun on Spirited Canyon drives, allegedly. So that one, I mean, it's, you know, it's very German and just does everything properly. Didn't have any overheating issues. It felt very engineered appropriately. So, and I every time I see an ID.4, I'm like, that's a lot of ground clearance. Like, usually for me, that's like a turnoff. But in this case, it's like, it's unusually high in the ground clearance list of things. So that might be beneficial for you.
Right. So I'm looking at this list, and these two basic ones are the Audi e-tron and the Subaru Solterra. And I kind of like lean Subaru Solterra. I think it'd be a little bit less expensive to get into, right. I think the Audi e-tron's below 30,000 miles are around $30,000, and Subaru Solterra's look to be around 25-ish or so. If you can get, I guess there's not 2 years old yet, right? Because if it was 2 years old and 25,000 or less, then it'd be eligible for the $4,000, tax credit, which would be great. I kind of lean Solterra here, just because I think of the Audi e-tron as like just big and heavy and just maybe not as agile through, you know, some trails, but it would be more comfortable, I would imagine. So there's that, I guess. But looking forward, you mentioned getting a 2024 Equinox down the road, but I would suggest maybe if you want to replace that, maybe look at what the Jeep Recon coming out this year is like. I believe that's going to start around 60,000, so also just a little out of your price range, but after a few months there might be something on the used market, like very lightly used, and get rid of some of that depreciation and bring it down into your range. So I think that's like another consideration you might or another car you might consider, I guess. I don't know, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, if you buy and sell cars like Dave or Kyle or Tom, it's if you buy a used car, you're already buying at the lower depreciation curve. So maybe you could buy a Solterra right now, and then in a year or two, replace that with whatever is out. Because every calendar year, we see a whole new level of offerings from manufacturers that are better software, better charging performance. Just everything's getting better. We're riding this really cool uphill curve of seeing what the industry is capable of. And I'm very curious about Jeep. I was really, really impressed with the 4xe, taking it on some gnarly trails in all electric mode. So that's with that, I'm like, okay, I'm really curious to see what Jeep does with the rest of their lineup going full electric from now on.
Right. Yeah, they're going pretty aggressive, moving towards electric too over there at Jeep. All right. So I guess let's move on, I guess. So our next email comes to us from Mike, who sent us this and says, batteries included team. Is it worth it to upgrade from a 2018 Kia Soul EV to a 2020 to 2021 Chevrolet Bolt EV? The obvious answer is yes, but I don't know for my use case. Here's my situation. The Soul is paid off and still gets 90 to 100 miles even on the coldest days. Commute is only 50 miles round trip, and I have level 2 charging at home. I also feel nostalgia for the Soul EV. It's been discontinued in states for 5 years now, and this car is what got me interested in electric vehicles. The deals on Bolts are so good right now, but the Soul's value is also so low. 6 years old, 50,000 miles, and the car has been in an accident, so won't get that much for it as a trade-in. If I bought a Bolt, I'd most likely have a car payment for 2 to 3 years. We want a three-row EV in the future, but can't afford it right now. We have a three-row ICE vehicle, which we use for our occasional trips as a family of five. This Bolt decision means we could be all EV in 1 to 2 years or 3 to 4 years. Long story short, should I save money and have the ability to upgrade the family car with an EV sooner? Or get the better Bolt with double the range and have significantly better secondary car going forward? Any advice or opinions are appreciated. Thanks for all the work you do and the content you provide. Mike. All right. So, Jordan, what do you think about this Kia Soul? Have you driven the Kia Soul? Have you ever seen a Kia Soul EV, actually?
I've seen a few. Okay. My brother actually went to the launch back in, 2017, the press launch. Okay. With our friend Forrest, and that was such a cool car. They made such a big deal about the Kia Soul, and the Kia Soul has a weird nice place in my heart for some reason. Right. Actually, just last week in Spain, I saw a manual diesel Kia Soul, and I was like, that's pretty cool. But the EV Soul is very unique and special, and I'm the person who would like to drive something that is very weird and quirky and like turns eyes to enthusiasts, if that makes sense. So I definitely lean Kia Soul in this case, just keeping the Soul, and you know, you're trying to save money for a better, you know, family three-row SUV, which in that case maybe another battery bargain's down the road, but I would already vote, you know, Kia EV9 as far as bang for buck three-row SUV. That's really hard to beat. But then you'd have a Kia vehicle family. I don't know, you keep the Soul around, eventually have a kid drive it. I just think it's such a cool car, and if the range suits your needs, there's not much of a reason to upgrade. Now, the Bolt would have marginally better technology, especially if you found a Bolt with, you know, some better driver's assistance. You might really love that. You do have a 50-mile round-trip commute. That's relatively long as far as commutes go for U.S. standards anyways. So that's a consideration. And, you know, DC fast charging with the Bolts is nice, even though it's not quick. It's still a feature. So I don't remember if the Soul has any sort of fast charging, but I know it's limited by its range.
I can't remember about that actually either. Tom, do you know if the Soul DC fast charges?
I'm pretty sure it's CHAdeMO.
Okay. Is it?
But I think it was an option. I don't think it was standard. Maybe you could check that out while I jump in. You know, as I heard Jordan talking, it's exactly what I was going to say. I really think the right play here is keep the soul, save your money, put your pennies away, save your money, and then get a good, say, like year and a half, 1 to 2 year old Kia EV9 after it's taken the depreciation hit. And, you know, in you know, say a year, year and a half from now, you could probably get an EV9 at a steal. And, you know, if the Soul EV is performing, you know, what you need a car to do, like you said, it's a 50-mile round trip, it's 25 miles each way. You've got 80 to 100-mile range. Even in the winter, this thing can suit your needs. The smart play is to hold it, you know, but we don't always do the smart thing. You know, buying vehicles it's an emotional purchase. It's not really a sensible or financial purchase most of the time. We buy what we want, what makes us feel good. And I could tell you're itching, you know, to maybe move on to something. And I wouldn't dissuade you from getting a Bolt. I own a Bolt EV. It's a great little car, really, really good car. And you might even be able to find one that just had a battery replacement. So you may get a car that's a couple of years old, but has a 4-month-old battery. So there's that. But honestly, looking at you from a distance, I think the right play is to hold on to the Soul EV. It's a cool EV. It's quirky. There's not a lot of them out there. Use that up. Drive it to the ground, save your money, and get yourself a nice 3-row family EV, whether it's an EV9 or something else that comes along at some point. And you know, you let somebody else take the depreciation hit and you pick one up, you know, and who knows, maybe if you wait like 3 years, you can get like a Lucid Gravity used with like 5,000 miles for like $50,000 or something like that, or $45,000. Who knows what the depreciation gonna be. And you know, that's a really cool EV. So hold on to your soul. It's a cool car. If it serves your purpose, save your money, and then get something really, really that good that it'll put a smile on your face when you drive.
I think on that note, you know, if you are itching for a change, you could look at something like selling the soul and then buying a well used mini electric. It's a similar experience, I would say, but it's still a different experience. If you do want a change without dishing out money for a new EV, there's so many of those on the used market as well. And it's comparable range and features and even size to the Soul. So if you're just wanting a different experience, I do think that's valuable, but I think it is rewarding to just wait and get a nicer 3-row SUV later on.
Right. I think that's a 2-door though, right? The SE, Cooper SE?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Family of five. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know how big his family, his kids are. But I mean, I know. Well, you're into the small car life, Mr. Miata owner.
Yeah. Even a Soul is like, man, five people in a Soul. I don't. Maybe they're not really using all the people in the Soul. Maybe it's just like his round trip commuter.
Or maybe they're all like
three kids in the back of the Soul. It's not big, but it's a hell of a lot bigger than a Mini Cooper.
Right.
It's impressively big. That's true.
Yeah. Well, it's like one of those box designs, you know, where it's like, you know, actually really spacious inside compared to the outside.
Yeah.
But so I think I need to kind of go with you all. I think he should save his soul, basically. really hold on. I mean, if it's doing the job and you like it, I mean, the Bolt would probably maybe give you a better ride and a little bit more modern and, you know, fresher interior. But if you're happy with the 2018 Soul EV, I think I'd just hold on to it and then save that money and go for the Kia EV9 on the used market down the road. I really think that's the move here, especially if your kids are small now and getting bigger. I think you'll really appreciate the EV9. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yep.
Right. All right. I think something's going on with my microphones here, my headphones, but we'll power through. So our last email comes to us from Steve. He says, "Hello, we own a farm in Athabasca, Alberta, Canada. That's like 200 miles north of Edmonton. We currently have a two-year-old Tesla Model Y, and it has been great. No issues in the cold. Was minus 47 Celsius here last week. We are looking for, at replacing a 2004 GMC diesel truck, which is at the end of life. And we're planning to wait for Cybertruck, but current range is a letdown. We normally don't tow very far. The longest would be hauling cattle about 200 kilometers, 124 miles each way, but have a supercharger and CCS chargers en route. This only happens four times a year. Other use would be towing around farm area, maximum of 20 kilometers. That's like 12.4 miles. With superchargers opening up, I am thinking of a long-range Ford F-150 Lightning. Have two 10-kilowatt AC chargers already installed, one Tesla and one J1772. Have 50 kilowatts of grid-tie solar so we can charge for free during the day. We'll also use the new truck for a lot of long camping road trips. Plan to purchase a pop-up in-bed camper for either one. Can pick up a 2023 F-150 Lightning XLT with 131 kilowatt-hour battery for $84,000 tomorrow. Cybertruck would be a dual motor, but who knows how long that would take. I still have a Ford F-450 ICE truck if I need to tow very heavy or very far, bales, tractors, skid steer, etc. There is no Rivian dealer, or that would also consider that option. We'll pay cash, no financing or lease, Steve. All right. So, Tom, this is an interesting case. And you're a truck guy. You've had some, and you have a Rivian. No, you have a Ford F-150 Lightning yourself right now. XLT is yours or Lariat?
It's a Lariat.
All right. And it's sitting right there behind you.
Yeah, it's charging right now, actually. You might even be able to see the light blinking on the Tesla. I mean, Tesla on the Ford. Can you see? Yeah, there you go. It's blinking on the Charge Station Pro. So pumping 19 kilowatts. Actually, you only get really about 17 and change into the battery with losses and everything. So, as you were reading this, I was a little scared at first when you're saying 200 kilometers and it gets negative 50 degrees Fahrenheit, Celsius, which is close to Fahrenheit at that temperature. They diverge at 40, negative 40. So it's very similar. That's cold. I don't know if, you know, hauling cattle, even with the extended range Lariat, at negative 50 degrees will go 124 miles, you know, maybe if it's really flat land. But you did say you have superchargers on the way and CCS chargers. But are those superchargers that you'll be able to use? Because, you know, there's a good amount of superchargers out there, the V2s and even a lot of the V3s that aren't open for the Lightnings to you or other manufacturers to use yet. I just took a trip up to New Hampshire with my Lightning recently, and I couldn't believe, I didn't check before I left. I fully planned on using my adapters and charging at Tesla superchargers. None of the superchargers on the route could I use. None of them. There was like hundreds of miles where in a row where there were a ton of superchargers, but none of them were authorized for use. So I ended up using CCS chargers, which actually the experience was pretty good. So I didn't have any issue with it. But so you have to make sure that you'd be able to use these superchargers. And my initial thoughts was, geez, this guy needs a Silverado with a 212 kilowatt hour battery pack. That would be ideal for you. But then at the end, you said you've got the Ford F-450 that if you really need to haul long things, distances, so that's a fallback vehicle. It sounds like the Lightning would work for you. The Lightning's thermal management system works really good in the winter. As long as you set preconditioning, you have it plugged in, it works really good to warm things up. I mean, I've noticed that, you know, when I'm going on trips and it's really cold, if I have the preconditioning while it's plugged in, it really helps to mitigate the range loss on the vehicle. They have Lightning has good thermal management. Ford did a good job with it, both for DC fast charging and warming the battery up. But Silverado might even be a better fit for you at this juncture. With the fact that where you are and the fact that, you know, you probably have to drive long distances, would the Lightning work? It would. I have a little sticker shock from the $84,000 for an XLT extended range.
Oh, it's Canadian dollars.
That's Canadian. We can grab one for much less. I mean, here I see the XLTs with extended range battery in the 60s. You could get them, you know, so, that's unfortunate that you're paying that much more, but, in any event, I think the Lightning would work fine for you. I think you'd like it as long as you've got that fallback vehicle that for the long towing, the really heavy things. I've said it many times on Batteries Included. My Lightning is a fantastic truck. My friends who own farms and stuff around here that have driven it are like, this thing would work fine for me. I wouldn't say anything to dissuade you from getting it, but you should take a look at Silverado also. I don't know if they're available up there yet, what the pricing's going to be, but it's hard to displace that huge battery. I mean, that 212 kilowatt hour battery pack is nice to have, especially if you're doing farming and long distance driving like you sometimes do.
Right. Hey, Jordan, you don't own a truck, but we both drove a bunch of pickup trucks across the country, just a few weeks ago. And I believe you were in the Ford F-150 Lightning. So you're very familiar with that, but you've also been doing all kinds of towing testing and off-road testing with trucks in the weeks since then. So I think you have a pretty good feel of the trucks out there, the electric trucks out there, what their capabilities are. So what do you think about this farmer situation?
Yeah, I haven't driven my own cars in a month because we've just been driving trucks for literally one solid month. So man, I'm trying to remember what normal cars are like. But yeah, spent a lot of time with Silverado, Rivian, Lightning, and Cybertruck. I am such a fan of the Cybertruck. And if you do want that freedom of, all the Tesla superchargers will just work, there's something to be said about that. But, well, actually, we've had some various issues here and there, but I'm sure they're patching that up. It's early days with the Cybertruck still. But I wouldn't say like arguments over range and towing range and stuff, because all these trucks, what we've seen is pretty much the same. At a full battery, whether you're towing or not, they all are pretty close to each other, not enough to make a serious buying decision differential. What strikes me as a farm truck is a bit more of the Lightning, because it's just more of a standard truck. F-150 accessories intentionally work with the F-150 Lightning, whether it's gas, hybrid, full electric, whatever, they just all work. Cybertruck's really interesting to me, but it is definitely a different beast. I mean, even if you trying to use a tractor to load things into the bed, that's going to be a different experience with that sloped angle on the side of the bed of the Cybertruck versus the Lightning is normal truck bed. All the Pro Power on board stuff, all the lighting around the truck, for zone lighting, whatever they call it, that thing is just such a beast. So I would say that's a pretty safe bet. And maybe in nice weather, you could do that 200 kilometer towing situation, but I wouldn't count on it in the cold. But it does do well in the cold. Like Tom said, the thermals seem really great, and I had a lot of fun towing with the Lightning. It just really treats your load like you can't even tell it's there. It's got some great reversing capabilities. The Cybertruck we found to be a bit interesting towing. The steering was a little twitchy because it is the steer-by-wire system and the rear wheel steering and everything. It was the least pleasant to tow with. It'll still do it. It still handles it just fine. But and especially around the farms, like, really nimble with the four-wheel steering and everything. But I don't know. The Lightning is just like a proper normal truck, and maybe that's appealing to you. One other thing you mentioned in your email was the camping, pop-up camper and stuff. That's not going to work on the Cybertruck either. So that would be, well, unless you buy their own proprietary system, which is not really a pop-up camper anyway. So if you're looking at, campers, which are probably more likely to be made for a traditional truck, such as the Lightning, that's your solution.
Yeah, I'm going to agree mostly with you, but I'd like to see them go for Silverado. So I pulled up the Chevy Silverado Canadian website, and it says the 2024 Silverado EV, WT, and RST models anticipated availability first half of 2024. So if they're not on sale there up there yet, they will be soon. I'm not sure what the price is, but up to 10,000 pounds of towing, like 785 pound feet of torque, just like all kinds of capability there. And I'm not sure if it's as quick as the Ford F-150 Lightning. It's but 4.5 seconds 0 to 60 is a plenty.
That's the about the same. And I'm going to agree with you. I if the Silverado is available, that's the thing. You mentioned in your email, you get a Lightning tomorrow, which makes me think there's some urgency. But you didn't know when the Cybertruck would come out. But I you could probably get a Silverado before Cybertruck if I had to guess. And that is also a beastly normal truck. It does have a little bit of a slope at the back of the cab going into the bed, but you know, it's normal bed nears makes no difference. Great usable frunk. I don't know if it does it have the, you know, the 240 charging in the back bed, the Silverado. I don't remember if it does, but
I can't remember it does. For sure. Okay.
Yeah. I figure they wouldn't leave that out. It's right. You know, work truck capability. And that bigger battery is just such a beast.
It's got the weird, I think it's got a weird, it's one of the weird ones. It's not like the typical 240 plug that you would think. It's like a slightly different one, but it's like for
a generator plug, but they have the adapters.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you towed with the Silverado EV over the mountains. How did it do towing the Tesla Model 3 in a trailer?
Yeah. So that it was unbeatable. I mean, it went the entire 500 miles and needed to recharge the one time, whereas the other trucks needed 3 stops or so. So the other 3 trucks all were the same. Silverado, or not Silverado, you know, Lightning, Cybertruck, Rivian, all performed about the same. Right. Which was interesting because they all have slightly different specs, but even the profile of the truck and how it affects the airflow going to the load on the bed or on the trailer, that all plays into it. The Silverado, though, just brute force, throw batteries in it, and you can go further. Who knew?
Right.
And it towed great. Everything just worked super well.
Well, those 3 trucks roughly have the same size battery, give or take like 10 kilowatt hours, I think, right? What's Cybertruck? Yeah. I forget. What's the gross Cybertruck? 120 something?
I think it was about mid 120s usable. And then
Lightning's so it's 131. Rivian is, was it 135 or something? I forget.
I think so. Yeah.
All close.
Yeah.
So I would expect them to all perform relatively well, relatively similarly towing. But the Silverado 212, boom, like with a hammer, you know, you can't replace kilowatt hours, you know, when you're doing something like that. I mean, that's nuts.
So with the one last thing with the Silverado EV, Jordan, the 3WT or 4WT, because the 4WT's got more range, but it has less towing capability.
A bit less payload because of the extra weight of the battery. You know, even the 3WT would be great. That's still 50 kilowatt hours more than the other trucks. Yeah. And then you can take it even further with a 4WT. So I think it depends on your towing load. But like you said, he has a Ford F450 for some beastly things if he needs it. But so maybe the 3WT type battery size would be a good middle ground. I wonder if the other truck makers will ever kind of go that route and have some bigger batteries, or if they'll just try to focus on efficiency in their own smaller battery ways.
I think Stellantis is going Ram. I think the Ram is going with a big battery attempt approach as well. Yeah. And the range extender one, which is kind of odd. It's using those two long range strategies, you know, very different, but yeah, they're both going to be pricey, you know, compared to, truck with just batteries instead of a battery and with a small battery instead of a huge battery and a battery and a motor, all that stuff. Yeah. But yeah, so that's my thing anyway. Yeah. Silverado EV. And it sounds like he, you know, will pay cash, no financing early. So I think he's not worried too much about it. And plus it's a farm, so he can write it off and it's taxes. It's all farm equipment. So yeah. So I think that brings us to the end of our show. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe. Tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you all again very soon. Ciao.